This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Gentlemen, take your marks. Set.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, all around the world. For our Dolphin and Vikings fans, Sunday was just disappointing. But there will be more games coming up. Halloween was Sunday, and there were tricks and treats. And for your information, time will change. On the 7th, I don't know what your feeling is about time changing. I want to change every year. I want to see something different. I don't want the same thing again and again. Oh, I give a shout out to Paul Wong of Wong's Rubber Stamp and Printing, where they printed my vaccination card. Well, your information would be right on there. And I'll tell you this, there are numerous people watching, and I see Lucretia Napa. We also had somebody else that was looking on, Deidre Clark, my good cousin, and again. There are people listening and watching on various different, I call it, platforms. And, you know, I appreciate each and every one of you. And we are on our way to the 500th episode of Track World on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My co-host is Philippa Arnett. How was your day, Philippa?
Busy day, Alpheus, but I'm very happy to be here. Very happy. Good evening to all of our listeners.
That's what I am talking about. Track World is brought to you by Sun Oil Limited, Our Rock Homes, Sunshine Insurance, my bestseller book, From Vancouver to Athens, 50 Years of Bahamian International Track and Field Competition, AFD Management Services, ladies and gentlemen, AFD Management Services. Freeman DeVoe is the CEO on Pairdale, and their business is oil and energy. Vaughn L. Culmer and Associates, Insurance Brokers Limited. I have been a financial services representative at Kalina for more than 40 years. My daughter, Alexis Hannah, is my business partner. We are the A team at Kalina. The first A is for Alpheus, and the second is for Alexis Hannah. Kalina has health insurance, general insurance, and mortgage. And I can be reached at 432-9961 and Alexis at 467-0372. That is what I am talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, we have, I could call it, how do I call it? A great show for you. Our guest is the one and only Chanel Ferguson. I remember attending a meeting of the Pioneers when I returned from St. John's in Minnesota. And I believe that you may have been at that meeting. The meeting would be right opposite where the NHI building is, where Adam worked with them.
National Products.
Now, I remember, well, Amos was the president, and he always asked me, Onesimus Strawn is on.
Hey, Onesimus, all the way in Arizona.
Arizona.
It's Chanel.
Yes, it's Chanel. But you know where he is. You know all the things that are happening in Arizona now. That's a topic for another discussion.
Oh, wow.
Well, I remember attending that meeting with the pioneers when I returned from St. John's University. And we were saying that, you know, I just come from school, and he wants me to come to this meeting 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So he, Garfield McPhee, yes, Garfield, I'm sure that you're going to be on the show. Garfield lives right in Cullmansville, and he lived pretty close to Joseph Spence. And he has a sister, has some people, as I say, near to and near the Toppins and all of that. So that's where they live, and he has a sister in Grand Bahama. Tell us, when did you start in sports? I'm talking about in general now. I'm not talking about up at the top. Your start.
Oh, good evening, Alpheus. Good evening, Philippa. And good evening, Bahamas. It's great to be on the show. It's always a high-energy show, so, you know, it's a good time for listeners, and it's a good time for us on the show because it takes us down memory lane.
Yes. Indeed.
And I started with Frank Ramey.
Okay, yes.
And Obed Gardner.
Obed, yes.
And Keith Parker.
All three. What a combination.
Oh, and Claudius Anderson.
Yes.
All at the same time.
Yeah. And he was a Long Island man.
Yes.
Yes.
And I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know anything about track and field. Nothing at all. And there was this field behind C.I. Gibson.
Yeah.
And we just did everything. I threw shot put. I ran 400. I long jumped.
400. Oh, that's good.
I long jumped. I ran relays. Everything. And so that was the start of it.
And then the other schools, competition. Well, Spence said he can't see the guests. Here's the guests. But, you know, Spence, I need to be able to call off the names of the people who are watching the show. Go ahead, Chanel.
Well, it started there, and I remember it was inter-school sports when it was a big deal.
Yeah.
The town pretty much closed when it was inter-school sports. Mm-hmm. And C.I. Gibson came with this team that was just spectacular. Frank Pancharami and Obed had us using starting blocks back then.
Mm.
And everybody was talking about this big red machine. I didn't know what big red machine. I know St. Augustine's because I lived in Fox Hill, grew up in Fox Hill. Mm-hmm. And we played on the track there at St. Augustine's. And I guess it helped because we just blew away the junior girls. We absolutely blew it away. Mr. Ferguson at SAC.
Yeah.
Crispin Ferguson, he's passed.
No.
Basketball and
Who
was at Aquinas?
He was at Aquinas.
But he went to St. Augustine.
St. Augustine. Yes.
Right.
And he was just flummoxed. He didn't know what to do, where to look, what to say. Because we brought it. And then, of course, there was a cinder track back then. And you had to put these nails in the blocks to hold them down. And I remember in the 50 meters, took off. And I won my heat, and I beat Laura Lightburn. And, Mr. Ferguson was like, what happened? What just happened? And then say, okay, that's a fluke. It's not going to happen again. And the final came around and did the same thing all over again. And it was just absolutely spectacular. And then we had a relay team made up of these girls that were just great.
Fast.
There was Agnes, and there was Pauline, and there was, I can't remember. But this with these four girls, between Obed Gardner and Frank Pancharaming, we were something else. And that was the bug.
So where did Pauline go to school?
This was Pauline Apino. Not Pauline Apino. This was another Pauline from C.I. Gibson back then.
Yeah, well, there was another Pauline that went to the school before you get to St. Augustine's.
L.W. Young.
L.W. Young.
Okay.
And Natasha Colebrook went to L.W. Young, and she is watching from, she's in London.
Ah, all the way in London.
This is
international. My goodness.
How fierce is this?
Well, let me say this. On the other side of the family, he ran against Brent Simonet. Mm. And he was in London, so
Clark is a great friend of my brother Daniel.
Yes. So that was some. So the school event. So how many times did you participate in that?
Well, I mean, to really be truthful, how did my track career started? It started with a lady named Miriam Pratt, who happened to be my mother.
I will never forget her. You know the connection between me and her.
Yes. And she was a strict woman.
Yeah.
And I was a mischievous child. Mm-hmm. And everything that she said not to do, somehow I found myself doing it. And it was beating time.
Ripping. <Ooh. laughs> Or beating is, which one is worse?
Anyway, whatever Miriam Pratt did was... was consequential. Uh-huh. And so she would line all three of us up. I had two brothers. Whatever nonsense I did, they got blamed for too. But they would stay there and got whatever was dishing out, not me. I ran through the streets of Oxford Hall and she's going to kill me. So that's really... And I mean, I could run. They would have the neighborhood... people would hold hands across the street because I'm running. Mm-hmm. You know that old thing, oh, Red Rover, let Rover come over. It was like that. And I would redouble my effort and I would break through the ranks. And so I guess that's really where the running started.
Yeah. So, who you mentioned who we are, physical education teachers. So going from the school meets, how do you get from there?
Well,
you get from there. You know what school you went to, and you sort of mix up.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I was in school and competing for the country at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think most people do that these days.
Yeah.
And I finished up at St. Anne's.
So how did you get to finish up at St. Anne's? You know, you are a strict Methodist.
Well, that's interesting because our Anglican friends went to Queen's College, mm-hmm. and my brothers and I went to St. Anne's. Mm-hmm. So it was right up. It was close to home.
Closer. Yeah.
It was close to home.
And right over the hill.
Yes, and the pews were part of the community.
Yes.
And so St. Anne's was part of the community. So.
And I have a connection with the pews because of the Finlayson.
That's right. Rosemary.
And all of them.
Right.
Yes.
And so, Dave Blake was the phys ed teacher there.
Oh, he's gone.
God rest his soul.
He touched a lot of athletes.
Yes.
He certainly did.
Yeah.
He did.
Very encouraging. And even after he left or retired and he was at the sports center, sporting store, he was still very...
Yes. I know where we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Morris and now...
So those it started there, and then of course there was Carifta, and we all went down to Trinidad in
1975.
That was independence.
Okay,
independence.
You're right.
And if you would listen to what what's his name from Barbados says, I mean it was all the countries coming together. Yes.
That's right. And what was interesting about that was sports was still under the Ministry of Education at the time, Philippa. Mm-hmm. And there were three people that they said they couldn't take. We had made the qualifying standard.
Wow.
They said Linda Woodside couldn't go. I couldn't go. And Bradley Cooper couldn't go. Wow. And I remember it was a Sunday afternoon. We always had dinner early on Sunday. And so when mommy made us sleep on a Sunday, take a nap on a Sunday. And these people from the 3As came to the house. They had been to every house to say they were very sorry that we had been named to the team. We had made the qualifying standards, but the funds were not there to send us.
Oh, wow.
And all three parents said the same thing. Our children made the standard. They will go. Whatever we have to do to raise the funds for them to go, we will do that. Wow. And because the three parents stood firm with that, the Ministry of Education said, we'll find the money.
Oh, wow.
And so that's how we got to my first international meet.
By the way, Eric Fowler is looking. And last week I talked about the sexy jazz, and his son is one of them.
Oh.
He is a police.
Oh, my.
And the commissioner of police were there, because they still are police.
Ah.
Yes.
Oh, man. Listen, Eric Fowler. Way back.
Preacher.
Yes, that's it.
Yes, preacher.
And I mean, the wonderful thing about that, whenever I saw a preacher or Yorkie, God bless his soul, it was like yesterday. It was like no time had passed. And it was just as easy talking to them today as it was back
then. Yes, yes, yes.
Wonderful people. Wonderful, wonderful people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So how did you do? It is around the, I'm talking about in Trinidad now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the competition.
Actually, all of us did well. Peter got the bronze medal, the only medal.
The first one, yeah.
Yeah. Bradley.
What is so interesting, in a lot of cases, the people who got in the triple jump, they are the people who did the first.
That's true. Now that you mentioned that.
Now that you
know, Mike Christie. Right. Perry Christie, Mike's nephew.
Yes, Sands.
Yeah, Mike Sands.
His
mother's child.
I know.
I mean, his aunt's child.
His aunt's child.
And she was the treasurer.
Barbara Brooks.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't know. There was something special about
something special. Yes. Yes.
And but all three of us did well. The three who were slated not to go.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was fourth. Mm-hmm. Linda was fourth, and I think Bradley was fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody said Peter did better than us.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a really interesting experience, flying so far away, an upside-down hotel in the mountain, where the top floor was at the bottom, and the bottom floor was at the top. And
I had the opportunity of being in that hotel. I guess it would change at Hilton, and it was up. That was a long time afterwards.
Right. And, you know, from there, I made lifelong friends. The friends that I made in Carifta, they are my friends today.
That's wild.
So what about the next event? We're now in
74.
Yeah, but we're in 75 in
Bermuda.
In Bermuda.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, that was traumatic for me.
Really?
It was traumatic. I went to Bermuda expecting to win.
Mm-hmm.
And they had we were jumping, Trinidad was grass. Mm-hmm. And so you had these long pegs in your sprint. And we expected the same thing to have happened in Bermuda. But they had some sort of synthetic pad for the runway, the long jump. So I had these long pegs that kept sticking in this thing.
Oh, wow.
And I ended up, I think I came second or third. Oh, and I cried. I cried a river.
Yes, on record they have you coming collecting the bronze in 75.
I cried a river, you know, but it was interesting. I saw hail for the first time in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's with
exactly.
that? You know,
I wasn't for that. Too cold.
And it was 1975, and I remember, I said, well, you know, they had lots of fruits and juices, and for me, coming from the garden of New Providence, which was Fox Hill,
we
had fresh orange juice, but there were oranges that grew on my grandmother's tree.
Mm-hmm.
There was oranges that grew on my Adley tree that we got when we went raiding, as we called it. And so, you know, it was interesting just to see life differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Bermuda was a powerhouse. The Bahamas was
a powerhouse.
Jamaica was always a powerhouse. And, you know, in Trinidad, somewhere in there. But there was the three, Jamaica and then the three Bs, Bahamas, Bermuda, Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like that.
Boy, here's it is something else. There's somebody who participated in 75, and she threw the discus or javelin, and she is in in she is in Grand Bahama.
Christian Barr?
No. And nobody knows where to find her. I don't know.
What's the name?
She was a discus thrower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But she was there in 75, and I'm sure she was...
I remember, yeah, but I can't call the name.
Can't call the name. Well, let's go from there, because you've been all around the world,
mm-hmm.
and for us to do a excellent job with you, you got to write a book yourself.
My brother keeps telling me that.
Yeah. So then the next year,
Ripta came home.
Pinling told them, we are going to have Karifta mm-hmm. here in Nassau.
And that was like having the Olympics in the Bahamas,
that's
I can tell
right,
you.
That's right. And we did some new things in Nassau as compared to what Bermuda would have did.
Well, prior to that, we always stayed in hotels. That was one thing. That was a significant change.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess as teams got bigger, it became more expensive,
yes.
perhaps. Mm-hmm. And so they started using schools. And I'm not sure what we use schools in.
You're a couple years ahead of me, but I know they used Government High.
And Sandy Sands was the person
that's
in charge.
Yeah. That's it, Sandy Sands. Yeah. I remember that.
And he was in charge of a number of them going on. I mean, you know, he worked at the hotel, Nassau Beach.
That's right.
Yes.
Actually, he was very helpful to me when I went down to Jamaica in 88, and he was at Pegasus there.
I'm forgetting Pegasus.
Yes,
right. Joey Wells.
But he also was in Guyana. Well, they move you around and around.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
But Karifta came to the Bahamas, and I mean, it was like I say, it was national.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole country was behind this team. And we felt so special. And we did exceptionally well. I think we came third.
Yes.
And
but you know what is so interesting? The jump from 75 to 76, it was just an unbelievable, because we came third, I mm-hmm. think.
Yes, we did.
We came third, but it was a big jump from before.
But what you could do when you have it at home, you could have everybody. You
yes,
could
yes,
fill
yes,
up
yes,
every
yes,
single
yes,
event.
Your numbers could.
But I mean, you can do that and not win.
Yeah.
But we had people who were just buoyed up by the support and the pride of competing in front of your family and your friends and your schoolmates, and people were winning medals.
Yes.
And one of the things, there were a couple of things that very memorable to me about 76. I jumped, there was this tall girl from Guyana who won the high jump. She got first and Linda Woodside was second.
Mm-hmm.
Her name was Joan Griffith.
That's right.
And then she came over to the long jump, and she towered over me. And she was slender, and I was slender. And it was all over. I guess I come in second today.
Mm-hmm.
And but I said, well, everybody looking. You gotta bring your A game.
Bring the A game, that's
and
all.
I jumped my heart out.
Well, let me just say something again. Stephanie McKinney. We know Stephanie McKinney. You should know Stephanie McKinney. Her back foot was married to her sister or something,
mm-hmm.
But she is still around, Stephanie. And then Nat Adams, of course.
Oh, yes.
Nat Adams.
Mm-hmm.
You know Nat Adams
You're
very
right,
well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he lived around the corner from us.
Always a big sponsor, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He was always through Coca-Cola.
Yes.
Always.
His name.
That's right.
I never met him in person, but in
like
all
you know
sports,
you
just
him.
Know. Yeah, because everything was Nat Adams.
Thank
Coca-Cola.
You, Nat.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Something happened in 76 otherwise, but tell us.
Well, what happened was in jumping, I just knew that I had to be this tall girl. I think Joan was 6 feet even then.
Mm-hmm.
And I won.
Yeah.
And everybody was carrying on like it was a big deal. And I was wondering what was the big deal. Yeah, I got a gold medal.
A new record.
Yes,
it was
did.
A new record.
New record.
But even more important than that, it was the Olympic
qualifying.
It was a national record,
yeah.
but it was also an Olympic qualifying
jump.
Performance.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, when I saw Arlington Butler, God rest his soul, mm-hmm. everybody in a tizzy, my mother was a nurse, and she had left the hospital to come to...
the track,
to see me. And she and my older brother Danny were at the gate, and she was trying to buy a ticket.
Yeah.
And Jerry Wisdom, God rest his soul, said, "Miss Pratt, why are you worrying about a ticket? Your daughter just won the gold medal. Come in. So they pulled her in, and to this day, my brother doesn't forget. They left him outside.
He was no jumper. He's an accountant and lawyer.
So he had to dig in his pocket to pay the car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so she came in, and oh, my mommy, it was just so hard for her to watch me compete because she wanted me to do so well. Mm-hmm. She gets so nervous, and she just couldn't look. You know, it's almost like she jumped. Yeah.
The love of a parent brought
her in and say, "Your daughter has not only won the gold medal, set a national record, but she's made the Olympic qualifying distance."
But you don't know this. You may have known this. The people at the stadium and afterwards, and they say, "Why you wouldn't let these people who did well in Karifta go to the Olympics in Montreal?"
Because it was the Bahamas Olympics.
The Olympics in Montreal. I mean, in that Karifta.
Yes. Because it was the highest level, I think, of track and field here at this time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
well, except for the Tommies and the rest of
I mean, on that an event.
An event, yes.
Yeah, to have a whole event at that level. And so, because we were doing so well, and it's like Bahamians, they believe in their athletes. They think we're the best in the world, and that is what helps us so much. And so, they feel we
take
the whole team to the Olympics.
They just need to believe in the athletes when you go to the stadium. No, wait till the big beat.
Yeah,
well, you know, the thing is, there has to be something that can be done to cause the crowds during regular meets
to
come back.
Oh, my goodness.
There are so many things that you're competing against these days. Mm-hmm. So what do you do to make it interesting? And I think it's not just a problem here. It's a problem for athletics around the world.
Yes.
I watched the under-20 championships
in Nairobi,
after the Olympics, and the stadium was pretty much empty. I know they were there was COVID,
it was limited.
But even in the, I think the 2 years before then, I looked in the stadium and it was again pretty empty.
Mm-hmm.
Europe is a little bit different. Europe is just totally another story when it comes to athletics.
They love the sport. They more than love it.
Whatever size the meet, the stadium is generally going to be packed.
Yes.
And that is where I, you know, other than the Olympics in Montreal, that is where I knew that I would always have a big crowd. Even college meets
of course.
In the U.S., the stadiums are not that full. But that 76 was also interesting because Jimmy Carnes from the University of Florida.
Well, there's a story about that.
Yeah, he had come down to watch.
Yeah.
And signed me up right away, the University of Florida. I hadn't taken the SATs, but I had really good GCE passes.
Right. You remember why you didn't go to Florida State?
Why?
Lacey.
Oh, well.
Lacey in a way.
I wasn't ever going to Florida State.
No.
I never had any intention of going to Florida State.
Well, anyhow.
Never. Don't ever correct that in his books. Go ahead.
I'll talk to you about that later.
Okay. Cool.
But before you go on, Chanel, I want to, I don't know if you're getting to this, but I know for me as a younger athlete watching you come up, I never knew that you actually won the 100. I knew you used to run the 100 after, but seeing the record that you actually won the 100 in the same Karifta, I thought was like, oh, phenomenal.
No, I think that might be something
that... Everybody just know you about long jump.
That might be something that has to be fixed, too. I think... I think I got third or something like that. I didn't win. I don't think I won in the Bahamas. I would remember that.
Oh, they have you on record, yeah.
But that's okay. If they want
to. That's right.
Why should I get there? You know?
But Isaac, no.
Let me say this. Going forward... The CAC Games in Havana.
Yes.
With, I'm talking about, there's only one man in
here. Fidel. Yes.
And you all messed me up because we were supposed to have, I was a manager, and we were supposed to have a meeting of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And you all went to see Fidel. I never saw Fidel. I saw him from far, you know. And you remember how he introduced himself? He had about 7 words, and that was it.
Mm.
That was not the Fidel we know about.
That chat that goes on and on and on and on. But I mean, Cuba was so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Cuba pushed us, and we pushed Cuba.
Yes.
And after it was the what we call the three in the Caribbean, because Bermuda field events, very important for Bermuda, mm-hmm. field events, critically important for the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And also
for Cuba. Definitely.
And for Barbados, but at the CAC level for Cuba.
Yeah.
And our field events people were the ones that the Cubans competed against. Delise and Bradley. Stephen Ray, Sotomayor. Mm-hmm. Joey Wells and Stephen Hanna against a number of Cuban long jumpers and triple jumpers, and I against quite a number, Echeverria, another girl named, her name was actually like a Bahamian name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Her last name was, I think, Samuels or something that you didn't expect in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Dora Thompson. That was her name. Thompson.
Yeah, yeah.
I jumped against a Dora Thompson. But the Bahamas was so deep in the field events that we led the points.
Mm-hmm.
The field events led the medal haul for the Bahamas because Jamaica was absolutely strong in track.
Yeah.
And Cuba was also strong in the track. And so the Bahamas had this terrific field events team, whether it was triple jump, long jump, discus throw, shot put, high jump, whatever the Bahamas was going to place and bring a medal.
So the next year, where were we? Santo Domingo.
Oh, yeah, now that's...
Santo Domingo, the 7th or the 8th anniversary of our
independence. Yes.
Tommy Robinson was there. Tommy made it a point and went over there and said, y'all know what y'all need to play.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that a number of times. So BJ came out on the in the front, and a number of us, I think Preacher was there,
mm-hmm.
Amos was there, and it was just something else.
It was on
Independence Day.
That's right. I think it happened in this Olympics or somewhere else recently, maybe one of the youth games, where this young lady won, I think it was a field event,
mm-hmm.
and she got up on the podium, and they played a national anthem that was not her anthem,
yes.
and she kept stepping down.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an IAAF event. And you know, social media today,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and some people are saying, well, maybe she should just take it and fix it afterwards. But I was with her. That was not our national anthem. And that's exactly what happened to me in Santo Domingo. We were recently independent, and I won the gold medal. And I got up on the stage with my big, bright smile, and they put this gold medal around my neck. And so you turn to face the flag, and mm-hmm. I watched the flag go up. And then they start playing God Save Our Gracious Queen. So I said, oops, and I stepped down. And so they said, well, what's the matter? And I'm saying, well, that's not my national anthem. So I guess they did something upstairs. And then after a few moments, they told us to, it's fixed, get back up on the podium. And so I got back up on the top podium. And the music started again. And again, it was God Save Our Gracious Queen.
Well,
so I came back down off this podium, and I wouldn't go back up. And the next thing I knew, I heard these Bahamians singing March on Bahamaland.
Yes.
It was so touching. And the whole stadium was quiet for it, you know. And it was so, you know, it's one of those things that you don't forget. Just so much pride in being Bahamian in that place where everybody was listening to our national anthem.
Michael Sarge Hanna is talking. He's on the show. If you can, So let's talk about the next time going to Cuba. Going to Cuba. Back in Havana.
Back in Havana.
Something was significant.
Mm-hmm. this was the CAC Championships rather
that
than the
game. Took you to Helsinki.
But I think before that, from Dominican Republic, from Santo Domingo, we went to Mexico City, to Jalapa.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, because that was 81 you're talking about just now. But back in 77.
You remember we going to Helsinki? Go ahead.
77, I won the long jump. And
you were in Puerto Rico.
That was Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico correct. To get there, yes.
Yes, and so that was the first stage of it because I won the CAC, which is Caribbean and mm-hmm. Central America. And so then there was a second qualification, which included Canada and the rest of South America.
Düsseldorf.
Yes, so I won that one as well. And so I'm on my way to Düsseldorf, Germany. And it was quite surprising because I didn't know any of this existed. I was just finding it out as I went along. You didn't go there knowing that this was a qualifying for the first World Cup. And so I won all, and it was no time to go home. You're going straight on to Düsseldorf. Mm-hmm. And Lufthansa, German Airlines, used to fly to the Bahamas back then. I think they had a hop from Düsseldorf to Nassau to Mexico City and back to mm-hmm. Nassau. So anyway, I made this team. And they said we would be gone for, I think, about a month. And so we had the Jamaicans, the Canadians who had made it, the Central American people who had made it, Jadeo Oliveira, who was the world record holder in the triple jump. So we're now leaving Mexico City to stop in Nassau to go on to Germany. Yeah. And I'm saying, wow, I'm going to be gone for almost a month. I need hair care stuff. I need clothes. I need all of these kinds of things. And so I told one of the stewardesses, and she told the pilot, and Lufthansa German Airlines called the tower here in Nassau.
Oh, okay, yes, yes.
And spoke to officials here. And they, the officials in Nassau called my parents' house, and my family came to the airport to bring me everything that I would need for a month mm-hmm. overseas. They got to meet all the Jackie Pusey and Lilith Hodges, João de Oliveira, the people from Canada, because security wasn't so tight. And so everybody could come off the plane. And they met my family, mm-hmm. and it was special. And then we got back on Lufthansa and flew on to Düsseldorf. Very excited. And then we got there, and everybody went through immigration except me. Hmm. Except, you know, I don't have a visa, I don't have a passport that would allow me to get into. into Germany. As we were independent in 1973, and here it is, 1977, I can't get into Germany. No. And this tells you exactly how powerful these world sporting bodies are, like the IAAF, like FIFA. They're like governments, like countries unto themselves. And I think they must understand what a force they can be for good in this world because they wield such powers. Within less than half an hour, the IAAF made a call, this one talked to this one, and I was through Germany and every country in Europe mm-hmm. with one call from the IAAF. And that was the start of my European adventures.
So wow. let's go back to Havana.
Mm. What's particular in Havana?
World Championships.
Oh.
Helsinki.
That's, I always tend to do well in Havana. And there's always this rivalry between us and Cubans. Mm-hmm. And so they bring their best game. They bring the best out in us, and we bring the best out in them. And then, of course, we always had a thing about the Canadians being in our area for World Cup. We felt that because
it couldn't be any place else.
North America is North America.
Yeah, but you know how it was in those days. United States and everybody else.
Yeah, but
you know, I'm talking about then, okay?
Yeah.
Everything has changed.
I still felt it was unfair.
There's no World Cup.
I still felt it was unfair then.
Yes.
You could have created something else. But because a lot of Canadians knocked off a lot of Caribbean people off those teams. But anyway, I won that one. And we ended up in Helsinki for the World Championships, which was just a successor to the World Cup. Helsinki wasn't what I had hoped.
It wasn't your best day, but
it wasn't
my best day. Did you run in the 4x...
4x1.
4x1, yes.
I did it twice in Helsinki and also in Australia. In Australia for, I think, that, I can't remember whether that was the World Cup or World Championship.
I ran World Championships in Australia.
So that would have been World Cup.
World Cup.
I think that is when Silky...
That's when you all won all those things. Oh, yes. The lady who did the 4760.
That still stands today. Yes. That still stands today.
Well, our girl is going to get that at some point.
I believe so. Yes. I certainly believe so. So those events that took me through World Championship and World Cup, and also, of course, then the Commonwealth Games, which fell between those, and that takes us back to, I think, 1982. So the Commonwealth Games came around in 1982. I hadn't been to one before. I'd heard of one. There was one, I think, in Cardiff, Wales, before that time. That was the time of
Tommy Robinson,
I think Leslie Miller, Jerry Wisdom.
That
was during that time. I don't think there were any women on that team.
There was somebody on the team. The lady on the team was the president, she was in charge of Michael Eldon School.
Anita Doherty.
And she continues to tell me I didn't add her name in it.
I mean, but she was I know her to be famous for just sports generally. Yeah. She did so many things.
Mm-hmm. She was a household name. Yeah.
But we got to...
It was interesting to learn that fact, though, when I did some years ago.
Yeah.
When she was still actively involved.
Of course, yes.
And I know Pauline Davis, I knew she was going to be something special, because in 1982 she didn't make the Commonwealth Games team. She didn't make the standard.
But that was her first year participating, you know.
But that doesn't matter.
No, I'm only mentioning.
I mean, even
the CAC, so, the CAC someplace, she was... person who won everything.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, though, I'm talking about the heart of a champion.
Yes.
She didn't win, and I felt that way sometime. Like I said, in Bermuda, you know you have it in you, and it doesn't happen, and it breaks your heart. But it breaks your heart in a way that just makes you redouble your effort.
Exactly.
And so even then, she was showing a warrior's heart. And so, you know, I know the pain that she felt. I made it, and I was going to make it worthwhile. And it was an interesting time. It was seven of us, one boxer. Stephen Larimore, I think, was the boxer. And then there was Greg Rowe, who got a medal in the 400-meter hurdles. And since Jeff Brown, I don't think we were doing much with the 400-meter hurdle. Mm-hmm. Stephen Ray, God bless his soul, is a silver in the high jump. Bradley won the gold in the
discus. Course, yeah.
Stephen Hanna got a bronze in the long jump. He was expected to do better in the triple jump, but he won the bronze in the long jump. And I got the gold in the long jump. I was the only woman on that team, and it was difficult because I was the only woman on that 1976 Olympic team, and it needed to come to a point where women would move forward. Correct. And of course, that did come, and it came with a vengeance too. You know, and so at the Commonwealth Games, we'd gone on a tour to Taiwan. Tommy Robinson knew a girl from Taiwan, Ching Chi, I think her name
she,
was.
Well, Taiwan, you know, that doesn't happen anyway. It's there, but she was the chief.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was, I think, either a schoolmate of Tommy, or they knew each other from competing in the States. And they were looking to begin a circuit. And so they invited us and some Americans and some other people, and we went down there. And
Pioneers.
That's right.
Pioneers.
That's right. So we went to Taiwan and broke some records down there. I set a New Bohemian record in Taiwan. And in doing so, I sprained my ankle. And this was just before, we haven't even gotten to Australia yet for the Commonwealth Games. I sprained my ankle. And I just figured I wouldn't be able to compete. I've done all of this preparation. And now it's going to come to the point where... And getting to Australia wasn't easy, Alpheus and Philippa. When we're having winter, down under's having summer, and vice versa. So we were going to be going to the Commonwealth Games in October. And so everything had finished here. Track closed. And we just figured, well, you know, you still have a team that's going abroad, you would be able to go and use the track. Not so. Everything was closed up. Keith Parker had this little Suzuki van.
Yes.
And he would park the van against the wall of the sports center. He'd give me a foot up, and I'd get on top of the van, on top of the wall, and scale down. And then, of course, I always wondered about Brad, because Bradley was so heavy, on top of this van that he's going to go through. And so we would scale the walls, and we would practice on Sunday, Saturday, whenever, because we had to be ready for this. And this was a countrywide effort. Keith Parker had some friends from the Rotary, and they built me a ramp for long jump, which would give me more time in the air to practice my hitch kick. And because you need enough speed to be able to do that again and again and again. And so the ramp gave you a lift.
Engineering.
Yes. And so you could spend a lot of time in the air dealing with the mechanics of the jump. And then we did a lot of things with just the landing so that you got every centimeter that you could get. And so by the time we got to Australia, we were ready, and I was crying because I had this sprained ankle. I'd done all of this, and I was going to be robbed of this opportunity. And they said, well, you know, we can give you an injection that would deaden it, but you could be making it worse because you won't feel it. And I said, I've come this far, do it. And this was another level for us again, because after the day's trials and heats, there was this room that you could go to where they played back everything. And the room was kind of dark, but you can see the screen. And all the countries were there looking at what their athletes had done that day so they could know what to fix. And I remember when the long jump came up. And my qualifying jump was fantastic. It was another record jump. And we could just hear the English and the Canadian people saying, who's that? Who's that girl? Where's she from? They didn't know us. And but we kept very quiet. But the next day, all attention was on me, because where did she come from? Yeah. Who is she?
Right.
You know, was it a fluke? And it was a battle between Beverly Kinch from Great Britain, Robin Strong from Australia, and me. And it went back and forth, but I managed to keep out front. And it was back and forth between Kinch and Strong. And at the end, I prevailed. And it was such a nail-biting event. This is when they really had broadsheet. The newspapers were big and broad, and they had the whole page. Me at the front, the Australian in the middle, and the English girl at the bottom, a whole page of us.
Do you have any of them now?
I think I do. It said the girls.
You need to look for it.
Said the girls brought the excitement. And from then it was, well, okay, you know, you're part of that international. Whenever you got to jump, you knew that the Bahamas was going to be in, and the Bahamas was going to make a difference.
Yes.
So it was.
So what I want to talk about now, basically, because
Onismus is saying David Charlton was on one of those teams.
Helsinki.
Exactly.
Well, that's what that's going from Havana to Helsinki.
That's right.
Yes, yes. Then we're talking about
James DeVoe is watching.
Yeah, my good cousin in Turks Island, James. If you watch Spence, you got to watch me. okay, Gloria Smith. She turned 90. Who is Gloria Smith? This is Phil Smith's mother.
Ah, oh, wow.
Phil Smith's mother. Wow. Yes, yes. And then, guess whose birthday is today? Yvonne Munka.
You're joking.
Yvonne Munka.
Happy birthday, Yvonne.
Yeah, I've been trying to get, what's his name, Chris, but for whatever reason, I've lost his number. But he is close to Yvonne, real close to Yvonne. And guess what? Somebody has a birthday today. And that is only, the birthday is on the 6th. When is the 6th?
I think next week sometime.
No, the 6th ain't next week. The 6th of November.
Mm. Is it Monday?
Val Smith and Chanel Ferguson.
Val Smith on
the
6th
from St. John's.
Oh, listen, Val Smith. Val Smith beat me in 100 meters. Can I tell
you
why?
That's right, yes.
Can I tell you why?
Now she is my good cousin again.
That's okay. I can still tell you why.
Yes.
Val was, I was always very slender, very boony. Val was too, but she was top heavy. And so every time she got to the, I was flat chested, but not Val.
Not Val.
Every time.
Yes, yes.
All she needed was lean a little bit, and she had it.
The lean, the dive, it works.
I mean, she was so talented. I think she really stopped too early.
Now, I forgot to mention, what's his name now? Rudy Sawyer.
Oh, Rudy.
He had a birthday on Saturday. Sunday. Sunday. He had a birthday then. Mm-hmm. And then we go to Kingsley Monroe. You may or may not know Kingsley Monroe.
I know Kingsley Monroe by name. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And that basically is it. For the birthdays the birthdays now, so looking back, what can you say about your time in athletics?
It was formative. It was exciting. It took me around the world. It broadened my horizons. I've met so many people. I remember when competing in Norway, King Olaf used to come and sit there and you didn't know, I mean, you knew who he was, but he just was there because he loved track and field. Mm-hmm. He rubbed shoulders with people up and down. All kinds of people. I remember in 76, I was invited for lunch aboard the Royal Yacht Britannia. I sent my regrets. I didn't know that you're not supposed to send regrets to the Queen. And of course, getting the MBE was really good. It said that the nation appreciated what I did, and so that was wonderful. Of course, it got me a university education.
Of course,
I told you about Joan Griffith earlier on. We competed in Carifta. Her son played for UCLA. I was his godmother. I stood in her wedding.
Awesome.
When my mother died, she dropped everything in California. She came. Rose Allwood came. You made good friends.
Yeah.
I was his godmother, and he was playing in the UCLA, the Final Four, against my school, University of Florida. And so I didn't know what to do. Pull for Florida, pull for my godson. And then, of course, he went down to the NBA, and he would say, godmother, you can come up and watch.
Yes.
And so I went and saw, professional basketball team, which my godson play. One of the things that I did after all of this, I got some of my niece competed for Queen's College, Amber Ferguson. And she thought this is what she wanted to do. And so I got some of my World Cup uniforms, because she was about my size, and I made a wonderful Christmas present of all of that for her with a story of why her aunt, what her aunt did with these particular things. So it was good to carry the Bahamas flag. And in some places where I competed, they had heard the Bahamas and national anthem for the first time. So it was a pleasure to represent my country, represent my family, represent the people of Fox Hill. And if I had to do it all over again, I would do it all over again.
It's a great story. It's definitely a great story. And I think, too, for a lot of younger athletes, this is definitely bridging the gaps. Because, you know, there's a segment of younger athletes that might know you, and then there's don't know exactly what you contributed. Definitely. And when you think about the years that you're talking about, that was independence. That was
that's the really
early independence years. So the true pioneers in the sport at a time when our country became, you know, our own. So,
well, it was interesting too, because Bradley, Steve, and I did a lot of talks to schools and to community groups and to clubs and the like. I remember I was invited to Long Island to give out the prize for their athletics, their event. So you got to touch a lot of people. I did some volunteer coaching at Queens College. And the following year, of course, they went on and they beat the Big Red Machine. So,
and so she just had to say that, Alfie.
That's their business. That's their business.
But and even my church, the Methodist Church, up and down the Methodist Church, so proud of me, you know. And Reverend Emmett Ware, God bless his soul, he would write to me during that time. I still have letters that my mother wrote to me as I traveled around the world, you know, wishing me well. And my friends around the world became her friends around the world. And became my brother's friends around the world. And so, yeah, it was wonderful. Absolutely. I'm glad Mommy used to come behind me with that switch and I started to run.
That's
because
right.
It took
That's
me
right.
around the world.
It paid the price.
Yes.
Definitely.
So, thank you. Thank you ever so much. But start on your next chapter. All of these things that you've done in track and field, put it together and let the people know. The only way it will happen is if you put it together and do your book.
I think I will start on that. My mother kept clippings of everything, and I still have them.
Yes. Thank you so much. Ali.
It's a pleasure.
Ali Rose. No. When we talk about Ali, we don't mean the other Ali, because the other Ali is a little bit bigger than this Ali. This Ali. And it is something else. Thank you, my co-host.
Always
and,
a pleasure.
We really have to do something again, you know, but do all you can. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Okay. Thank you, Chanel. Awesome show.